Romans 12. For several Sunday evenings now, we have been looking at this study of spiritual gifts. And tonight, if you name the name of Christ and you have been born into God's family through faith in Christ, I believe that each and every one of us who have received Christ as our Savior have also, at that time of receiving Christ as our Savior, also received at least one or possibly more than one spiritual gift. Every believer has been given this spiritual gift. And we are looking at these gifts. And so as we come to chapter 12, let us begin again at verse 6, Romans 12, 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, and we studied the first night this gift of prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. And that's how far we've come in our study of the gifts thus far. We've looked at the gift of prophecy, and we've looked at the gift of ministry, and the gift of teaching, and the gifts of exhortation. Then we come to the fifth gift that's listed in this particular list, and it says, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. And so that brings us at least to light three more gifts. The gift of giving, the gift of ruling, and the gift of showing mercy. Now, I probably should have looked at this passage, the gift of giving, before we took the offering tonight. But as we look at this particular gift tonight, let me say that I believe that I have had the privilege over the years as a pastor to cross paths with many people that I believe have the gift of giving. And we all know that we are supposed to give to the work and ministry of God. This is not a message on giving. We know that God encourages us and commands us and gives us examples from Scripture of those who give. And that's as it should be. We all ought to have a heart that is designed to give to the work and ministry of God. But this particular gift, I believe, is a special ability, God-given ability, to give to the work of God and possibly to the people of God consistently, liberally, sacrificially, wisely, and cheerfully. Let me read that list again for you. To give consistently, liberally, sacrificially, wisely, and cheerfully, so that others can be encouraged and blessed. Now, I want to start by telling you something that many of you may not know. And you know, I did not know this until one day I accidentally found this out. But we had in our midst, and I'm not saying we don't have others, but we had in our midst a few years ago someone who would have been the least expected person that I ever thought perhaps had this gift of giving. Her name was Gloria Snyder. I know for a fact, and I used to see it show up on the financial giving reports, and I never knew where it was coming from until quite a bit later I discovered who it was coming from. And she probably was the last person that I would have suspected of giving that way, but I don't know all the details behind it, but every so often, Gloria Snyder would give a gift of $10,000 to the church. And I never would have expected it. I would see those reports, and I never knew who it was until one day I stumbled upon something that let me know who it was. And I really believe that Gloria, now this is just my personal assessment, but I believe she had the gift of giving. And certainly, only eternity will tell the blessings that that was and has been to our congregation over the years. This gift, though, however, is not reserved for just the wealthy. You know, we would think that, well, then, yes, those who have lots of money probably have this gift of giving. Well, it's not reserved for just those who are wealthy. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4, please. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me hath flourished again. So who is he writing to? The Philippians. And he said, your care for me has flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. And if we read on through verse 16, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only, for even to Thessalonica ye sent once and again to my necessity. And guess what that was? At the end of verse 18, it says, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And if we were to read other passages in this account, we would find that they were giving sacrificially. And in 2 Corinthians 8 indicates that those who were poor also gave liberally. Persons who have this gift have the ability to give not out of their possessions, but according to their possessions. And we all know that the amount is not the issue, but the ability to do it abundantly out of what we possess. Scriptures indicate to us, again, in 2 Corinthians 9:7, that we're to do that without reluctance. In other words, not grudgingly, without reluctance. And without false pretense. We learned this morning that there was giving that was done in false pretense, right? Letting others think that they were giving all. And we are to give with an eye that's single with God. In other words, we're to have focus that we want to give for God. I used to drive up and down the I-75 corridor and out of Michigan and on down into Ohio, and there's a place where it comes over and joins with Highway 23 and so forth, and my brother lived in Ohio, and then later, in latter years, my mother lived in Ohio with near my brother. And so as we would travel that way, we would go by, and just a little bit in that area, go by a big building. that was a huge plant, and on the side of the building it said, "Christ is the answer," in great big huge letters. Christ is the answer. And it wasn't till I did a little research that I discovered that the reason for that was that it belonged to a man who discovered a process that made him a millionaire. He discovered a process where he could save silver from being washed down the drain in silver nitrate that was used way back when they used to develop pictures. You know, they weren't digital things then. They developed, can you imagine that, teenagers? They actually used to develop film. I can remember going to Israel on some of my first trips, and I would take my 30-some rolls of film with me, numbered, so that in a book I could write down where I took those pictures and where, and I would take lead-lined envelopes to put my film in so that when they went through the x-ray machines, they weren't spoiled. Had to carry lead bags with me to protect the film. That actually used to happen. But anyway, he developed a process to extract the silver back out of the silver nitrate before it was washed down the drain in film developing. And he became a multi-millionaire doing that. But in his business, he legally made God 51% owner of his business. And God was the owner. And as such, he had a process put in place where millions and millions and millions of dollars was sent to God's work, both in this country and around the world. He paid his workers a fair wage, and he only paid himself a modest income. Everything else went to God. You know what? I believe that man had the gift of giving. And it's those who can, without grudge, give, and they almost are unhappy when they're not able to give. I read the story of a man who again was a Christian man, and he was a real estate developer, and he would develop whole areas of property and subdivisions. But in those subdivisions, he would always keep a piece of property that was to be given to an evangelical church to build on, and he would sell them the property for $1. A prime piece of property right in the middle of this new subdivision, and he would sell it for $1. Only eternity will show how many hundreds and thousands of lives have been affected because he was willing to do that. He had the gift of giving. And let's look at someone else in Scripture. We could find several examples of this, but let's look at just one. Go to back Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Perhaps here is one who also had this, I don't want to call it a supernatural, but a God-blessed ability, a God-given ability to give. And Acts chapter 9, we read about a person, and this person is mentioned in verse 36. And let me go to the book of Acts. I happen to be in Romans accidentally. Let me go over to Acts chapter 9. And verse 36. Now, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called, what? Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Good works and alms deeds. In other words, she was full of deeds of kindness and charity. Charity, which she did. And certainly, these alms deeds reflect one who has the gift of giving. Now, let's quickly, I know that our time seems to have escaped us tonight, but let's look just at one more spiritual gift tonight before we close, and that's the gift of ruling. And those of us who certainly might like to have this gift may not necessarily be blessed with this particular gift. But this is a God-given ability to organize and administer with efficiency and spirituality so that a project is brought to a wonderful conclusion and God's blessing is evident. Romans 12:8, let's turn back there if you've gone away from Romans 12. When you look at the words, he that ruleth, very literally, it's he who leads. That's a literal interpretation of the word ruleth here. He who leads. And again, in 1 Thessalonians 5, describing there the elders, those who have charge over you in the Lord. Those who have charge over you in the Lord. This is those who are able to manage. And in 1 Timothy 3, 4, and 5, that's the very word used, manage his own household. So it has to do with managing, a person who will take charge, one who leads, one who presides. It's the same word and related to the word in the list in 1 Corinthians 12 that is the word governments or administrations. It's the same gift. Governments, administration, ruleth. In non-biblical Greek, we find the word used of a ship coming into harbor and there is a pilot of the ship. And that word is used of that pilot. He is the one who is leading, guiding, administering, ruling that ship to get it into port. And it's that person who can organize and direct toward a specific goal. We could look at many, I believe, who had this gift. I'm not sure if it was, we would call it a spiritual gift, but it was certainly a God-given ability in Old Testament times. But if you look at Joseph, did Joseph have the gift of ruling? Sure. What did he do during those days when they were preparing for famine in Egypt? Joseph certainly had the ability to organize and lead. And how about Daniel? In Daniel chapter 6, we learn about Daniel's ability to lead. And Nehemiah, do you think Nehemiah had this gift? Yes, he helped build the walls, and he was organized, and that's the idea here. These are some outstanding Old Testament examples. Titus may have had this gift. If you look in the book of Titus, chapter 1, would you turn there, please, quickly with me? And what was Titus supposed to do in verse 5? What was Paul telling Titus to do? For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldst what? Set in order the things that are wanting. So what was he telling Titus to do? Organize things, lead, get things done and put in right order. And so possibly Titus then had this gift we call administration or the gift of ruling or the gift of governments. This is one who can organize a social gathering. This is one who might be able to direct a vacation Bible school. This is one who has the ability to become a Sunday school superintendent. This is one who may be the chairman of a building committee in a given church. God gives gifted ones who have this special ability to organize and to lead and to see a wonderful conclusion reached as they give that proper leadership. We sense that every church needs those who have the gift of giving, and every church needs those who have the gift of administration or ruling. Now again, the ruling and the administration and the giving are never to be done for one's own glory, as are none of these gifts that we've been studying. Are any of these gifts to be used for personal gain or personal glory? No, they are always for the edification of the body and the body of believers. And so as we each use our gifts, God is going to be able to use our gifts and especially bless that particular local church where he has placed those with those gifts. May God indeed help us discover our gifts. And it's very possible that some of you here tonight have that gift of giving, and some of you here tonight have that gift of administration. And I want to close with this. I think I shared with you early on in this study how that one time I was in a home and I was talking with a family, and we weren't really even talking about this particular thing, but there was a little boy in his high chair, and this little boy was actually throwing a fit. He actually needed to be disciplined, but there was not any of that going on, unfortunately. And later the father said, you know, when I see my son doing this in his high chair, I believe he must have the gift of ruling. Well, unfortunately, I don't believe he had the gift of ruling. For one thing, he wasn't yet born again, so he couldn't have a spiritual gift because those are given at the time that you are saved. So I don't believe he had his gift yet. What he had was a spirit that needed to be broken, and not his demonstrating of the gift of ruling. He needed to be ruled rather than ruling himself. May God indeed give us insight into those gifts that he has given us for his glory to be used in his body. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have in your plan gifted men and women with certain abilities that are not just naturally theirs, but gifts that are given to them so that they might serve you and serve the body and build the body. And we pray that as we continue this study, that you will help us to each understand spiritual gifts and then discover our own spiritual gifts so that we might again serve you well. Certainly we can understand the frustrations that perhaps come when we might be attempting to serve in the flesh when that's really not one of our spiritual gifts. And so we pray that you will help us to use our gifts wisely and for the benefit of one another. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.